Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, 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 geek.
Invents a gentle realm where the fans unite. Steve Megatron leads us, igniting the night. Talking movies and games, pop culture galore. Altered Geek vibes always leaving us wanting more. Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
I'm here, I think. I don't know anymore.
He's here. He's waiting.
No. I'm through with that crap.
Anyhow, thank you as always for listening to this episode, and be sure to comment on the website, which hopefully works. So yeah, we've not had an episode in a while.
Yep.
Been like a month and a half, yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Marvel, Netflix and toys. Oh my, was the last
one. April. Yep.
April.
So almost 2 months. But to be honest, there really hasn't been all that much happening. And by the time it happens, it's not relevant anymore.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of compiling stories or topics, and then I'm kind of waiting to see what happens, because some of them, it's kind of like there really isn't anything pertinent going on.
Yeah.
Related to it. And so it's like, why bother if it's just going
to
blow over?
We've been trying to finish other stuff, and that's real life too. Gets in the way and other things and all that.
Tis true. So anyways, yeah, we've been knocking out Podcaster Meets World and All Things Transformers and Studio 2009. And so, yeah, it's just, and it's, plus it's just been crazy busy schedule wise.
Yep.
So anyways, yeah, we have a few things that are kind of interesting. One of them being Netflix, and originally you brought this to my attention a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That Netflix kind of changed up how they look.
Oh, okay, that's where you're going first. I thought you were going to the other thing, but okay, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm going to the fun first.
The fun first, yeah. Right.
But no, I mean, they've got this new kind of interface. They're trying to more or less do something similar to like a feed or like a YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first revamp in almost, what, 10 years?
Something like, I want to say maybe, yeah, 2015 probably was the last time they did a full-on revamp of the Netflix.com website. Since they went to the more slide this way, slide that way,
which,
use your sleds, this and that and whatever, and here's our top 10, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's probably been about 9-10 years since that happened. I think, I don't know, I could be wrong.
I mean, I've not been a fan of that slider anyway, but that's because stuff just autoplays and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I don't like the autoplay.
To figure out how to turn off the autoplay. They don't really make that all that easy, but yeah, they're trying to create more of a curated, just better laid out professional look to it.
Yep.
Which is nice. And then they've got their own like kind of pop culture website too, which kind of filters into it.
Netflix is a joke.
No, it's that Tudum.
Oh, I've never heard of this. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so they have a new kind of behind the scenes website. It's netflix.com/TUDUM. I don't know what the name stands for. However, it basically logs into your, like, you can log into your Netflix account, and it ties in the whole interface together with it. Based on your profile, and it only lets, like, if you have kid accounts, it doesn't let them connect to it. It's only
for the adult accounts. Yeah.
Yes. So what it does is it curates the website according to your preferences. I mean, of course, there's things in there too that are on there, and you know, they have different staff writers and different types of things on it. But then they have, you know, kind of interviews and what to watch and book to screen or latest news of, you know, people and stuff that are coming out. And then they have some trailers and behind the scenes stuff. And then they have a section that's called, like, based on what you've watched.
Yep.
Which is more tailored directly to what you've watched. And then they have things for shows popular now, and then Netflix movies, and then more stuff to kind of explore through. But then they have, like, a top 10, a trending, you know, podcast, a shop to buy gear for certain different programs. Like, they say For You, it's got, like, the Electric State, Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F, the Adam Project, you know, so it's got things that are Netflix produced specifically on the For You, and it's very much curated for content created for Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And I got the email about it, like, a couple months ago, and I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. A new way to kind of facilitate through the website, because it kind of ties everything together. And I feel like this new interface that they're working towards is kind of tying in with that further.
Yep. Yeah, so I had logged in the other day, and I was like, oh, I want to watch blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah. Well, the easiest way to do that without having to order a physical disc, if a physical disc is even possible, specifically, it was either, I forget which one I wanted to watch. It was either Six Underground or The Adam Project, because those are my go-tos of, I just want to ignore the world and just escape and just get away from everything. And I logged in and I'm like, whoa, it's kind of like when you put on, like, the current generation of, like, 3D glasses or whatever kind of thing. It's like, holy crap. It's like, you know, a whole new world, even though that's another company and that's a different song. And there was a big red battle cruiser that, you know, came through the sky 23 years ago. And there was a little blue guy in that big red battle cruiser that stole the princess away. And he should have got his own movie. Oh, wait, he did. Sorry, I'm on ditch overload, folks. But no, I logged in and I was like, wait, what is going on? What did they do? Because, you know, you get used to something for so long and you think they're never going to change it. They've found what they like. They found what works for them. Their users are just going to accept it. They're not going to, like, they can't have too many complaining people. I mean, people pay for it constantly, so you can't, you know, have too many complaining customers if they keep coming back and keep paying for it. So when I logged in and I was like, hey, this is all new, all different Netflix. This is kind of weird. And I pointed it out to you and I was like, what the hell did they do? Because it took me a minute to get used to it. And I was like, oh, okay, this might take me a couple of tries. This might take me a couple of times. I might have to spend about 19 hours or so exploring this and figuring it out and whatever. I didn't, obviously, because I was only there to watch the one or two movie things. But it's one of those things where anything that has changes that I have to get you, like if it's something that I use on a regular basis, if it has changed completely, that I need to relearn everything, I will have to spend the time to do, like, Audition changes and I have to relearn all of my editing that I've done for the last X number of years. Well, we're going to have lots of problems. Y'all think podcasts are slow now.
That's why they've invented a lot of do-it-yourself kits.
I've been doing it myself since you showed me.
No, I mean, they have apps that do it for you now.
Apps, schmaps. I want a human to show me and then I can do it on my own, which I already had that happen 10 or 15 years ago. Apps. Get off my lawn.
Old man.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, we have that, but they're definitely going more of a easy user friendly.
Good. They should.
And I agree. Like I hate it.
Especially with the prices they charge. Are you kidding me?
I know that was some of the comments on the video of the tutorial. Was like, oh, new shiny menu, raise the prices. And somebody's like, oh, finally an interface that's better than the last one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but kind of moving in that same vicinity, we have. On another positive note, Sesame Street.
How heading positive to, this is?
I think it's positive, considering nobody else was going to pick it up.
It's positive, yes, but...
It was going to disappear to the ether because everybody else that's had it since PBS couldn't afford it has dumped it. I think, wasn't it Warner Brothers that had it previously?
I'm not even looking up any links or anything. I'm not looking
so
up.
So it was, that's what it was.
It was Warner.
HBO Max. Opted not to renew it.
Okay.
And Netflix decided to pick it up. And
I didn't even know. I thought it was still brought to you, everybody, by viewers like us. I'm still thinking this is public.
Well, it'll still be available on PBS.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but like that was the whole thing. Like when we were kids, when I was a kid 40 something years ago, I want to say 40 something, everyone knows I'm 45 years old, but I say 40 something because 1985, 86 is when I really remember when I was 5 and 6 years old is really when I remember first noticing Sesame Street when I was 5 and 6. So that's when I first started watching it at the time. So 40 something years ago, I still remember the beginning of that. Like when Sesame Street came on, Sesame Street is brought to you by PBS and viewers like you. And that was the whole shtick, was that PBS needed donations and this, that, and the other thing. And it was public broadcasting. It's kind of like Wayne's World going from being in Wayne's basement to, the Esfinctor's office. Esfinctor says what? You know, Noah Vanderhoeven's office or whatever. Yeah, it's a good thing that Netflix picked it up from HBO Max and all that. It is. But I just can't get it out of my brain that streaming services, quote unquote, own Sesame Street and that kind of
thing. Well, they don't own it.
Okay, it's just the rights to show produce it or something. Oh, yeah, okay.
They're helping produce it in conjunction with PBS and...
Children's
and I think they see it as also a win because, I mean, yes, PBS will air it new, which is different from what Netflix normally does with their exclusivity. But what's interesting is that, I mean, you'll be able to stream all of it.
Yeah.
Like, all of Sesame Street on Netflix,
from 1969 to now.
Yeah, which is great because if you're like, oh, I'm a fan of this era,
yep,
I can watch it. That's cool. But yeah, they're having granted, I don't know how much of the old catalog is going to end up on there. Because I know that they've said initially like 90 hours of previous episodes. But reimagining an all new, you know, 56 season. And then, of course, HBO Max, not Warner Brothers Discovery. I swear they're like the guy at the top. He has no idea what he's got with any of his IPs. He's like crashing and burning everything.
I don't know what they're doing over there. I have no idea what they're doing. So you got originally when it first started, it was HBO Go. Okay, so we're going to have HBO Home Box Office on the go. That's what, for those that don't know, for those who are living under a rock, or for those who may be too young, HBO back in the day, and still to this day, at least as far as I know, originally stood for Home Box Office. That was the point, was so you could have your box office movies at your home on your cable television in the 80s. So we had HBO Go, and then it went to HBO Now. And then when the whole streaming wars and everything else, and it wasn't just Netflix and Hulu anymore, it was everything else, it became HBO Max. HBO Max was the new thing because Warner's had taken over Cinemax, so Cinemax wasn't a thing anymore. I honestly don't even remember. Again, folks, I'm not actively looking up any information. I'm just sitting here talking out of my ass. I don't even remember what company owned Cinemax before Warner Brothers bought them. I just know Cinemax, HBO, Showtime, those were the three main cable channel type premium movie things. So you had HBO Max. Okay, fine. It's called HBO Max. I don't care about the name of the damn thing. The only thing I cared about was, ooh, it's purple. And ooh, it has all the content that I want on it. It has all the DC stuff. It has all the DC animated stuff. It has all the DC live action stuff. And then things started changing, and then they're like, oh, well, it's going to switch to just being Max now, and no more HBO for you, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And now they've gone back on all of that, and it's going back to HBO Max. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Why? Well, it's funny because Cinemax was bought by HBO in 1990, which that merger created Time Warner.
Right.
And then
And then
at AOL, Time Warner, then Warner Media, then Warner Brothers Discovery. It seems like Warner can't survive without another company.
No, it can't. It used to be able to.
Not anymore. But that's why Cinemax was rolled into. It was meant to be a complement to HBO as like a maximum play, you know, pay type thing. And then they now they're basically one and the same, but HBO has a stronger name.
And
I agree with that. Like, I mean, it's kind of it's a better name. But yeah, I think that it's good though that
getting back to Sesame Street.
Yeah, that they're getting to supply it to PBS, and then also it's on Netflix for those that want to be able to access it. I mean, it does kind of suck that it's only the latest 90 episodes, which means like not even a full season if they produced, a new one every week or every, whatever. I don't know. It's still nice that the brand is continuing. What I did notice is somebody in the comments for that were like, it would have been a no-brainer to align. It's disappointing that Disney didn't do it because they could have unified the Muppets.
Yes.
With them again on one platform, considering Kermit was a part of Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was really surprised when Netflix popped up. I was surprised that Disney didn't pop up and say, hey, we want it because we have the other part of the coin of the puppetry landscape of Jim Henson stuff. I was really surprised that it was Netflix that popped up and said, we're going to do it. Who knows? Maybe in 5 more years, Disney and Netflix will make a deal or something. Who knows?
Well, you're funny you say that. I'm predicting Netflix buys Disney.
Oh, hell no. Other way around.
No,
Netflix is not big enough.
Disney is crashing and burning.
I understand they're crashing right now and they are on fire. I get that, but they will be able to put those fires out. Netflix does not have enough in there. No, they don't
give
have
it time.
Enough capital.
Give it time. They're continually growing.
All right, folks, come back to us in 5 years. What is this?
Making this prediction.
Come back. Yeah. Okay. I'm all right. Flip of a coin. Come back to GCRN, the Geekcast Radio Network. Come back to us in 2030 and we'll do an episode about this exact same thing. If news does happen either way, we'll see who was right.
Okay. I need to mark this down on my calendar. Yeah,
exactly.
Be like AG episode 442.
This is Monday, May 26th, 2025.
I'm just gonna leave that right there.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see, regardless how the Sesame Street thing plans out or pays out on that.
It's going to be very interesting, but I'm sorry. If you are going to be producing new episodes and if you're going to be spending whatever money they spent on it, hopefully part of that deal is that you get the back catalog. If you're getting the back catalog, why are you only putting 90 hours on your streaming service?
I'm wondering if it's a rights issue.
I know. And we probably need to look more in detail to it, but I don't know. I just wish, like, if you're really going to do that, you should have more than just 90 hours. Maybe you have select seasons. Maybe you have 10 seasons and they rotate or something. I don't know, man. I just don't think that only having 90 hours of a 56 year television, historic television show. I mean, we are 4 years away from that show's 60th anniversary.
It sounds like PBS, being still a key partner, will continue to offer the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have some of the back catalog.
Okay.
So, yeah, it sounds like you can watch all of them on PBS Kids. So they're just doing the past 90 hours worth. So it'll be on both. It'll be on Netflix and it'll be on PBS, but it'll be more of a selection on Netflix. So with global streaming rights to the new season. So
cool.
That's cool. Way to go, Netflix. Saving childhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving on from that.
Thank you for saying moving on from that, because I was about to make a really, really bad 2007 joke.
Yeah, I could imagine. So what are your thoughts on the new Superman film
that
we've seen the trailers of so far?
I'm looking forward to it. That first teaser trailer with Crypto That looked really fun. The new trailer that literally just dropped a couple days ago, or by the time you hear this, folks, a few days ago, whenever it was, that is really fun. The new trailer, I liked the new trailer. I like Lois and Clark's antagonistic kind of back and forth. What I really like about, what's the guy's name? I just listened to a whole podcast with my buddy Michael Bailey talking about it, and he mentioned the David something. I'm trying to get to it, folks. I was just on the page earlier this morning. You think I would remember this? but the guy that plays Clark Kent Superman, what I like about him is that he does, yeah, David Cornsweet, or Corn Sweet, Corn Sweat, whatever, I don't know.
Corn Sweat.
It's Corn Sweat, or yeah, Sweat. What I liked about him, and what I noticed is, and a lot of people have noticed this, is that if you watch that trailer and you watch the beginning of the two of them going back and forth, he changes his voice. When she's talking to him and she calls, you know, calls him Clark and says, I want to do an interview with Superman and I want to talk to Superman. And then she addresses Superman. He changes his vocal inflections. He's like, all right, Ms. Lane, let's do the interview. Like he changes how he, it's not like, it's similar to how the late, great, amazing, awesome Kevin Conroy did with Bruce and Batman, but it's a little bit not everyone's going to catch it, but I caught it and a lot of other Superman fans caught it. I like it. I'm not really sold on, at least just in this trailer, I am not sold on Nicholas Holt as Lex, not yet anyway. But it was okay. I was not expecting the ending of the trailer. But that was a nice little funny moment at the end there. But overall, I'm excited to see this. As per usual, folks, I will be waiting until it hits whatever streaming service, because I haven't been to a movie theater since 2018. So... And in the town that I live in currently, I just, no, I'm not dealing with that. But I'm excited for this. I'm very much excited for this. And I love the new trailer theme from this the music from this trailer done by John Murphy and David Fleming. Love that music because it's a mix of whatever originality they're doing to it and a mix of the Williams theme. So absolutely love that. What did you think? I know you're not really
I'm not a huge Superman fan, but I gotta say, I'm very stoked for this. Like, it gives me the vibes of the 70s Superman, but modern. So I'm super pumped to check it out and see what they do with it. And give this new rendition a chance. I didn't dislike Henry Cavill. I disliked how dark the last batch of DC films were. And nothing wrong with them per se. It's just I didn't enjoy them. Like, they were good for an initial watch, but not good for a rewatch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm looking forward to this, though.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this too. What I liked about Man of Steel, and I think this is the only thing I really remember of that movie, is how they twisted the plot around and gave us the origin like in the middle of the movie instead of the beginning of the movie, and they gave it to us in like a flashback kind of thing. I like the way how they played like all of the stuff for the Superman, like, here's your first Superman movie, like here's your 78 or here's your this or here's your that. They gave it to us. They just gave it to us in different pieces within Man of Steel. And I agree with you. It was very dark, and that whole era of DC was very dark. But I saw Man of Steel in theaters because it was a Superman film, and I wasn't not going to see it in theaters. And Cavill was a good Superman. He was a okay Clark Kent. I still prefer film-wise, I still prefer Christopher Reeve over anybody else when it comes to the movies. TV-wise, live-action television-wise, as far as someone who is acting the role of Clark Kent Superman, I still really enjoy Dean Cain. Say what you will about the man in real life, I don't care. Fictionally, as a fictional character, I like the way that Dean Cain portrayed Clark Kent and Superman on Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, which ran on TNT from 93 to 97. But yeah, no, this new Superman has got me stoked to see what, and I'm really stoked to see what James Gunn does with DC. We saw what he did with Marvel with the Guardians, and say what you will about the Guardians and whatever else, but I liked some of that stuff. So I'm interested to see what he does with the DC characters, and you know,
and they were fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. And he is very much taking cues from the old.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's also something that's lost in modern cinema. I think we're kind of needing like some of these throwbacks to what is old. You know, the old quote, you know, seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
Yes.
It's pertinent in every sense of the manner, you know? Yep. So I think we're definitely on the cusp of kind of a revival of old being new again. And absolutely. I'm all for it. So I'll be interested to see who, cause I doubt they're going to keep Pattinson as Batman. Like it for this new rendition of James Gunn, like they may continue. They may continue the stuff with Pattinson as Batman, but I'm assuming it's going to continue to be separate.
I hope not. And didn't the Batman 2 just get delayed, or didn't it get delayed anyway? Or
yep. I'm going to make the assumption that it's going to get a reboot.
Yeah. I think it needs one. I don't think
we need another one with Pattinson. I think it served its purpose.
Yeah.
I don't hate it or dislike it, because like honestly, I didn't watch it, but it's again just
I did watch it and it was
didn't interest me.
Yeah. I did watch it. It was okay for what it was. My problem was the time length of it. From what I that's what I remember from when I watched it. The performances were good. He was an okay Bruce Wayne. He was an okay Batman. He's not my favorite, obviously, but it's 176 minutes.
That's a while.
Yeah, you think? You know, so you got, you know, you get him as Batman. You get Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle Catwoman. You got Paul Dano is Edward Nashton, the Riddler. You got Jeffrey Wright as Jim Gordon. John Turturro as Carmine Falcone. You know, you got Andy Serkis as Alfred Pennyworth, which he was okay.
I didn't even know half the casting, because it had nothing to do with Pattinson.
Yeah,
I didn't love what I was seeing of the Riddler. I didn't love what I was, you know, honestly, I'd had enough weird with Gotham that I was kind of like, this has that vibe and I don't really care to see it again.
Yeah.
And I think I was more enthused when it was going to be Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
doing a Arkham, like almost like an Arkham Asylum type thing, you know, using the detective skills, using the brute force, you know, having, and I know that they did some of that in this, but I didn't love the concept, and it didn't really matter about the actors. It just, I didn't like what I was seeing in the trailers, and so I just opted not to see it. But that's also the same reason I saw The Flash, is because, yes, I hated the actor that played The Flash, and I thought it was a really poor movie, but I liked Keaton as Batman.
Yeah.
So again, I think we're at this point where it's almost better to just to have Gunn redo it, like start over and create his vision for the DC universe.
So here's the thing about the Batman. It is not a part of the DCEU.
Aware of that.
I wasn't aware of it either, but, and again, take this with a grain of salt, but this is Wikipedia. The Batman is intended to be the first of a new Batman film trilogy and has established a Batman-focused shared universe separate from the DCEU. Reeves and Clark refer to it as a shared universe as the Batman Epic Crime Saga. Key cast members. Yeah, so they're wanting a new Batman trilogy type thing. That's what that was supposed to kick off. I don't know what's going to happen.
They did create a shared universe with the Penguin show.
With the Penguin and then Riddler Year One, which was supposed to happen. Did it ever happen? Issue limited series was... it was a comic. It was a comic that they did. So
it's cheaper to do a comic than it is to do a movie or a series. Okay.
Yeah, sequel was announced at CinemaCon in April of 2022. Pattinson returning, Part 2 in January 2023. Price rules. The untitled sequel is scheduled to be released in the United States in October 1st, 2027. So we are just over 2 years away from the Batman 2.
So we'll see.
I don't know.
Pushed off, so we'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
Again, not knocking it. I don't care either way. I've gotten to this point in my geekdom that I'm like, if I don't care to watch it, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to knock it. I'm not going to bash it for people that like it. I'm just not going to see it. And honestly, it gives me a lot more peace than having a nerd rage.
That's right.
So, but this film looks like a breath of fresh air. I'm excited for it.
Superman looks great.
I'm happy that they were able to use Superman. And it's funny because Gunn was going to have, you know, a subtitle to go with it. And then he realized that the original Superman movies
didn't.
Well, they didn't use, I think it was like the Superman or something.
No, it was Superman, Superman 2, Superman 3. And the only one that had a subtitle was the fourth movie, which was Superman 4, Quest for Peace. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying there's no, it was Superman the movie.
Oh. Oh,
the first one. So he got away with being able to call it just plain Superman.
Superman, yeah.
Because the other one said the movie. And then the second one said third one, three, and then fourth one, four.
Yeah.
And so there hasn't been, you know, and then there was Superman Returns and Man of Steel. So there really hasn't been a plain Superman movie. As far as, I mean, there was with the original one, but they dubbed it the movie.
Yeah.
So it gave him his out. So he was able to keep it without the subtitle and the moniker on it. So I don't know. I'm excited for it. Excited to see what happens. Hopefully it's good. I'll definitely be checking it out and reviewing it. So yeah.
Absolutely.
And then getting to, I don't know, like, I didn't realize that CW was still doing anything.
Me either.
And apparently, I mean, I forgot that they were doing a show with LeVar Burton. They're doing Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's produced by Hasbro and it's CW Lionsgate. And then he's the host of that show, which that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Trivia and reading. And I don't know. He kind of flows with that pretty easily. And then I didn't realize that Scrabble, another Hasbro production, was a TV show and that they had a different host. The only reason it caught my attention is because one, I was on Deadline, just kind of checking different, you know, entertainment news. And I saw that, Craig Ferguson from the Late Late Show,
mm-hmm.
Which I was a fan of.
Yep. Me too.
He was very charismatic and fun and entertaining to watch. And so I saw that he was replacing Raven Simone as the host of Scrabble. And so now I'm interested now to see how this looks. But I'm also interested to see the Trivial Pursuit now that I remember that LeVar Burton is the yes, Jordy. Reading Rainbow. Don't take my word for it. I'm happy that he finally got something fitting for him, even though it wasn't Jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm probably gonna check both shows out.
Cool.
But yeah, I don't know how long Trivial Pursuit's been going on, but I know that both it and okay, so it's opening its second season now.
Oh, okay.
And Scrabble is going on its second season in their 30 episode season. So I'll have to check it out because like I like trivia and I like trying to guess stuff. And plus, I found that a lot of trivia ends up playing into future stuff eventually. And it's not all unnecessary knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Not all of it anyway.
That's why my predictions come true.
Uh-huh.
My brain puts it all together and then I just speak it and it happens.
Uh-huh. Well,
and it annoys you because then shows you like get canceled.
You killed JR, you asshat.
I didn't kill him. I killed his show. The actor died of his own volition.
Hey, no. I'm not talking about the actor. It's himself. I know. But
the character.
Yeah, the character.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the... And no, I don't know.
TV and films are evolving in different directions, and it's interesting to see where it's all going.
Yeah, where it's all going is it seems to be all streaming all the time.
Like pretty much.
Like you just said, the CW still does stuff. Like I don't even have, like, I'm sure I can find, because again, and I know I've mentioned this on the show before, I have had a 4K television since 2018. Only because when, at the time, Karen and I got each other Christmas gifts that year, she wanted a laptop, I wanted a new TV. I wanted to future-proof myself as best I could. And even though I don't know if the brand Sharp is still making TVs, I don't think they are.
I think they do.
Okay, anyway, the point is that I have a Sharp 65-inch 4K television. I've had that for almost 7, 8 and a half years now. And I wouldn't even know where to... My whole point in even bringing it up is... I wouldn't even know where to look for a TV tuner on the thing because all of it is like plugged into my set top box for Xfinity and whatever else. And on the set top box is like app this, app that. You know, like
I got an app for that.
Exactly. Well, and honestly, half the time, like, and I've talked about this before on our lovely Altered Geek show here that we have. You have such nice accommodations around here in this podcast. We've talked about this before where I don't really watch stuff just to watch it. I watch it to podcast about it. So you're not going to catch me watching insert show name here, insert movie name here, just for the hell of it. Like, yeah, I mentioned earlier in the show about Six Underground and The Adam Project. We had already podcasted about those, but I had been watching those movies multiple times on repeat before. Like, as soon as I saw the two movies of those, I was like, okay, I can rewatch these. These are rewatchable for me. So yeah, it's just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to look to find the rabbit ear version of TV antenna this or TV antenna that on my TV. Wouldn't even know. So I wouldn't have even known that there was still stuff on actual television channels other than news.
So I did notice, because like there are some shows I was interested in checking out, or at least I was watching. Have you ever seen Suits?
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it.
I've seen through the first season of the original.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
It was it's a good show, but it's not really my favorite show that USA has done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite either, but I enjoyed it for what it is and just because of what it is. And then I like the character interactions and the actors' portrayals. And then they tried to launch Suits LA.
Yeah, which just got canceled.
Yeah, which had Stephen Amell, and they were trying to do a different spin on it, like a spinoff. And then they brought in a couple of other actors who were major players in the original. And yeah, they it couldn't remain
Nope.
on its own. It, which, you know, I mean, it sucks because and I see complaints too. People were like, they should have used a different, you know, an original theme song and not reused it or given it a different name, or, you know, just, you know, not tried to shoehorn it in with the original, like doing something.
Yeah.
Just giving it a new name and just new, you know, not trying to ride on the coattails of the original. Yeah. And that's where people are saying it screwed up. But honestly, probably the TV's getting so cutthroat anymore.
Oh yeah, TV's, I mean, TV has always been cutthroat, has always had to be cutthroat, but it's gotten so much worse now.
Yeah. Like,
and yet you have to be cutthroat in television. It's not like the movies where you can release a movie named this or a movie named that, or, you know, what's the, and I'm just using this as an example, folks. I'm not saying anything about, I'm not commenting on this fact, but I saw this somewhere earlier today. Nope, that's not it. Where is that photo? I know I screenshotted that. Where'd it go? Okay, I guess it didn't do that. I saw a photo about Hallmark movies where it's like listing all this, all these things, and it was like, the same this, the same that, the same that, blah, 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 down to like 7 million Hallmark movies. But it was like two writers, like the same two writers.
Seriously, like, the same plot in every movie.
Yeah. You probably saw the same damn thing I saw, but I don't know where that screenshot went. It went somewhere. Oh, I'm looking in the wrong. Am I looking in the wrong? Yeah, I'm looking where it's going to go. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, it's just crazy.
Well, and then I was watching the revival of Night Court.
Uh-huh.
Partially because it had Big Bang Theory ties, but it also had one of the original actors.
Yeah.
And then occasional reprisals as, you know, as ones that were still alive were able to, you know, be on it. And then they made it to the end of the third season and had brought in Simon Helberg.
Yep.
In the final episode.
Yep.
And
what the hell are you doing here? That was her line.
I haven't actually seen the end of the season. sadly yet. No, it's fine.
That was in the promotion. That's not a spoiler, but that's what she says to him. That's the first thing she says to him. What the hell are you doing here?
But yeah, I was interested to see that, but I did enjoy the show, the new cast, and I don't know. I felt like it was a good show and it was entertaining enough.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And then, you know, with John Larroquette.
Yep.
Larroquette. Yeah. I liked his part in it. And then he actually did a reprisal of his Star Trek III Klingon in an episode. I don't know. I enjoyed that show. And then, we got Shifting Gears got renewed for season 2.
Yes, that's good.
Which I'm excited about, and I'm glad because I like Tim Allen.
Yeah.
So that's entertaining. What boggles my mind is we get shows like Mr. Beast's Beast Games.
That was a Netflix thing, and
Amazon.
Oh, Amazon, that's right.
But they're eyeing a 2-season renewal for it. And
Amazon can afford that crap.
Well, I know they're casting for season 2, and I don't know if you know this. I just for fun, I decided to try and go through the application process.
Oh, really?
I didn't actually submit it because I saw they basically expect you to not have a life, not have a communication with family, not have anything. Like you're basically like they own you. And that's what he wants. Like that's the contract. Like they literally you go and you're gone for 6 months in this thing. And like you're not able to have like your phone. You can't have social media. You can't talk to your family like you. And I'm sure they do that for a lot of like shows. But
yeah.
Some of it was a little weird. It was like, okay, like you can't even like see your kids or, you know, it just, I was kind of just like, this is kind of weird on multiple levels. And so I was just like, but it's at one, I can't stand the dude. I know he makes all of his money off of like brand deals and the show and his YouTube channel. Really, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand the appeal of this dude.
I don't either.
Like in the comments, even people were like more psychological torture of desperate people.
No.
And then another one's like, have they settled the lawsuits from season 1 yet? And then it says maybe if they do another season, they can surround his talentless buddies with people who understand real production.
I don't know if he's hiring his talentless buddies or if they're actually his talentless friends. I don't know.
I don't know any of that. I'm just just seems really, really odd.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of any of his stuff just because I find him obnoxious.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, basically they're having a, you know, like season 1, it says they had 1,000 players competing for a $10 million cash prize in season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And it had 50 million viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they are doing 2 more seasons, but I don't know. I'll probably never watch any of his stuff just because I don't want to support him. Because it has nothing to do with like his fame or anything. It just, I don't like what he stands for.
I don't have interest in watching the content because I don't think it's like, I don't know. I have better things. I mentioned earlier in the show, most of the time I'm watching stuff so I can discuss it on a podcast. I am not going to consume Mr. Beast content because I know we're never gonna, like, this is probably one of the only times we've ever discussed him. I know we've discussed him in the past a couple of times here or there, but like, you're not going to, folks, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, I guarantee you, you're not going to get a whole series here on the Geekcast Radio Network about Mr. Beast. You're just not. So
no.
If you're waiting for that, you're going to be waiting for a long ass time.
Like never.
That's the point.
I know. I'm messing with you. Did you hear that they're already working on a Top Gun 3?
What did we just say in studio episode 39? No, don't, and stop.
Yeah, so apparently Tom Cruise and he's saying it's already in, you know, kind of in the bag, adding that he already knows what the story is. And Christopher McQuarrie looks like working on a new script for it, for the third one. We did talk about this.
Yeah, I remember, but like, why? Like, I just saw, like, I've seen two different reels or two different clips of Mr. Cruise lately. After we did that episode, because since we did that episode of Studio 2009, obviously Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning has released May 23rd, 2025. And he released a clip or somebody interviewed him and whatever. And he said, I can safely say I highly doubt I will ever retire from doing movies. I will be doing movies up until the day I die, et cetera. You know, the usual stuff, you know, and I mean, the guy's what, 50, 60, however old he is, and look at the shape he's in and blah, blah, whatever else. And hey, as long as he can continue to do it, great for him, whatever. But you look at his career, and I have, we all have, and, you know, how about you not necessarily change it up, but, like, do different stuff. Don't just...
Well, he's becoming a Bruce Willis and a Arnold Schwarzenegger very quickly.
Not really.
Well, I mean, I'm saying he's kind of shoehorning himself into only action stuff now.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but...
And, I mean, Arnold's kind of jumped over to kind of action comedy stuff and on Netflix, and... So, I mean, he's doing some different stuff, and then Bruce Willis is obviously retired, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also... The two of them have also floated ideas of making a Tropic Thunder...
Two
with Les Grossman, which was Tom Cruise, which I didn't know when I saw it the first time. It was great, though. I was like, okay, this is cool. When it did the credits thing and it showed his name, I was like, no. And then like, because I noticed that when I was at home and I paused it, and I was looking at it. I'm like, it totally freaking is. But they're also talking about doing a Days of Thunder too.
Oh, God, no. No, it's been... Has it been 35 years?
I mean, they did Top Gun after, you know.
I know, but that's my point. It's been, literally, this is the 35th, like, again, another Studio 2009 episode I plan on doing. It's been 35 years since Days of Thunder. No, come on, man.
I do like the comment under that article, though, on Deadline. It's just, sure, why not? There's nothing else creative or original anymore.
I mean, it's not wrong.
It's not wrong. Not at all.
But like,
I agree. Like, I mean, I wouldn't, like, I would still watch it.
Yeah. But like we said, folks, go over to, if you want to hear Steve and I's full discussion on Top Gun 1 and Top Gun Maverick, go over to Studio 2009 episode 139. You can hear it there, but I'll say it here. How Top Gun Maverick ended, we felt that was enough. Now, granted, no one's going to listen to us as far as like, whatever they do in Hollywood, but as fans of the movies, is what we liked, what we saw, like, we felt that the stories were told. Is there, like, as far as like Mavericks, as far as Tom's, like, if you want to tell another story, you want to do a Top Gun 3 and have it focus on Rooster, sure, great, but really Maverick was kind of Rooster's story anyway, the start of it anyway, and Maverick was just kind of there. I don't know. I want there to be, that's the thing, that comment about how there isn't any originality. Absolutely. We've been saying that for years, but I want there to be, I want somebody to come in and create something new and give us new shit, because the problem is they're just going to keep regurgitating the same old shit, and they're going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it until it's not so well anymore. Like people would, oh God, these people that go to see Lilo and Stitch, the live action one, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I haven't seen it yet, cause I don't go to the movie theaters, cause it's just not feasible for me to go to the theaters in the town that I live in. But I've seen enough clips of it, and I know it basically adapts the 2002 animated original movie that Disney did back in 2002. It adapts it, but it also changes it for live action. And there aren't going to be any spoilers here, folks. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to say anything that's going to be too spoilery, but it changes a few things. There's a few things. There's one or two things missing. There's a couple of scenes that are missing. It changes a few plot elements here or there, but it changes it because of the format. It doesn't change it because they're trying to ruin your childhood. It changes it because it's not fucking animation. It changes it because it's live action. And yes, they only had a $100 million budget. And most people think, oh, $100 million budget, that's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But they put, I guarantee you, most of that $100 million budget was put into Stitch himself and the marketing. Because the marketing for this movie, oh my God. Just like the marketing for the first animated movie, I mentioned it earlier, about the Aladdin ad, about all the animated ads that they did with Stitch crashing into all, like, he goes into Aladdin, he goes into Beauty and the Beast, he goes into Little Mermaid's movie, and he just crashes all the movies, and everybody's line is, why don't you get your own movie? And so he does, goes out and gets his own movie, and that's how Lilo and Stitch has his own movie. So my thing is, when it comes to it, is look, the live action Lilo and Stitch is an adaptation of the original animated film. It changes a few things, like the, and I know everyone has seen this clip because I've seen this clip a million times because I love this clip, the clip where, and I'm pretty sure you've seen this too, so it's not going to be a spoiler for you. And I know you don't really care about spoilers for this because it's not, oh my, I'm pretty sure Lilo and Stitch is not your end all be all. Like, no. You don't have a, okay. So, and again, I'm sure you've seen this already. Anyway, it's the clip where they're at work. Why do I have to be at your work? Because somebody got kicked out of Hula again or whatever. So she drags and whatever, and Stitch is on the table and blah, blah, blah. And you hear the boss in the background, Nani! And I probably didn't sound anything like the guy, obviously. But she drags Stitch over, puts him in the child seat, and does the whole thing. And he does the whole cutting of his collar with his claw. And he just starts barking. And Lilo turns to him and sees that he's not in the chair anymore. So she walks over to the bar, and he's got the gun. And bam, 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 bam. That's an homage to Lilo and Stitch 2. Stitch has a glitch. I love that clip. I love how they used it in the live action of the original adaptation of the original animated movie. I think that's so cool and so fun. My whole point in saying any of this is that you still have the 2002 original animated movie, and you have this new version that is probably going to get a sequel, because they're already talking about it, they're already thinking about it, they're already this, they're already that. The movie's made like the biggest Memorial Day weekend box office ever. Every ad, you know this, We've talked about movies that have done, like, every time a movie comes out on any weekend that it ends up being the number one movie in the world. You know, I forget who does the voices now for it, but it used to be Don LaFontaine that did it. The number one movie in the world is a Lilo and Stitch or whatever, yada, yada, yada. So it's like, yeah, it literally is the number one Memorial Day opening of a movie in history. So I guarantee you they're going to either adapt the original sequel, Stitch Has a Glitch, or they're going to do something where they're maybe going to come up with an original plot with the how the story came about at the end of this current 2025 version. And I'm okay. I'm good. We still have the animated stuff. So without looking, if I remember off the top of my head, the continuity of the Lilo and Stitch animation is 2002's Lilo and Stitch. You have Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch Has a Glitch. Stitch the movie, which technically came out before Lilo and Stitch 2. But Stitch the movie lines up with Stitch the animated series. It sets that up. Okay? So, and then after that is Leroy and Stitch, which concludes the animated series. Animated series is 126 episode season. And it's all good. It's all fun. I remember watching all of it. I plan on rewatching all of it and doing Tooncast episodes on all of it. So at some point with somebody, I don't know who I'm going to do it with. Cause I mentioned doing it with somebody. I just don't remember who the hell it was. I don't think it was you, but I don't remember, but I'm excited, man. I'm excited that Lilo and Stitch is kind of back in the spotlight kind of thing. And like I said, I am perfectly me get bent out of shape over something getting changed in a movie plot for a different format? No, when has that ever happened? I wonder. But yeah, Lilo and Stitch, it looks so fun. And they have three people from the original film reprise. Well, three people return from the original film. So Tia Carrere is the social worker. She was the original voice of Nani in the original film.
Interesting.
The original guy that voiced... I want to make sure I have this right. Where is his name? Where's the boss's name? Jason Scott Lee, who plays the boss that I mentioned earlier, where he goes, Nani! Jason Scott Lee was the original voice of David in the original 2002 film. And then Amy Hill is the new character, Tutu, who is the older grandmotherly looking lady that you see in the trailers. Amy Hill was the voice of the neighbor lady, the lady watering the plants and stuff or whatever in the animated film. So they're doing things. And plus, Chris Sanders has always been the voice of Stitch. He'll always be the voice of Stitch. And he wants to do that voice for as long as he can, because that's just his voice when he puts it on. And I love that. I love that guy has been playing that voice in all of any. That's the coolest thing to me with this is that, and you know this, but like sometimes if they can't get Peter Cullen to do something for like an Optimus Prime, something else, not an action figure, but like an Optimus Prime plushie or this or that or a whatever kind of thing, they'll get somebody else to do it. Or at least that's what it was in the old days. Like if they couldn't get Peter to do it, they would have this guy has been doing Stitch's voice in the parks, in the this, in the that, in the rides, in the whatever for 23 years. So the fact that he got to come back and be the voice as always, I'm over the moon with Lilo and Stitch stuff. So I'm excited for it. So yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of those films I'll probably see just because I saw the original animated, but I do like the fact that the original actor can come back.
Well, I'm still gonna watch it just because, but like again, once it hits Disney Plus is when I'll watch it. Because if I'm already paying for Disney Plus, I might as well watch the thing. So
true. Right, true.
What else we got?
Show. Got Bungie stealing artwork.
Jesus.
Seems to be a pretty consistent thing with large corporations, right?
Yeah. You know, first Monster, now Bungie.
Yeah. I think what it boils down to is these people end up in these positions and then they're like, hey, that's a great art piece. It's just swipe it. They can't afford to fight back. It's funny because this particular one, this Scottish artist posted on social media her work that and had appeared in the Marathon Alpha of this game, this shooter game. Mm-hmm. But it appeared without her knowledge or permission. It says its environments are covered with assets lifted from poster designs made by this individual. And in an interview says that she was suspicious that her art may have been used without her permission when Bungie first revealed the game in 2023 in her thread. Fern posted side-by-side comparisons of her work and what happened in Marathon, or what appears in Marathon, the game, and posted on X in 2024, since she hit a reference to the Control plus Alt plus Delete webcomic loss in her designs. A year later, a player posted a screenshot from that game, or from that in the game, that includes a coded reference to the comic. And that they were made aware and did not know that the artwork was stolen and that a former employee was responsible for adding it. I love how, like, oh, it won't happen again. And, you know, I don't know. A lot of these companies are, they're either doing this or they're going hardcore into AI.
Yeah.
So it's like they either steal from somebody that made it or they use AI to steal it for them and regenerate it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been speaking of AI, though. I mean, we've seen some Netzoid stuff. I mean, Google's got VO3 AI video generator. I watched one where, you know, it had somebody driving a car, getting hit with all kinds of stuff, and then street cracks and, you know, getting thrown from the car and adding soundtrack music and everything else. And then you showed me earlier Baby Sheldon.
Okay, so this is more of me asking the audience why we need this. So it's not just Baby Leonard and Baby Sheldon. It's not just because of the Big Bang Theory clip. But I saw one with Knight Rider where they did Baby Michael Knight, Baby Bonnie, and Baby. Like, why do we need baby AI of television characters, of them reenacting scenes, or what? That's my, why is this a thing now? I don't understand. If you want to watch the show of
I think it's because it's entertaining that they grafted the faces to the actors. So you have the facial expressions, but it's a baby doing it.
Okay.
Because like, I find it entertaining from that standpoint. Like if I'm watching, you know, the child, you know, that looks like Leonard and Sheldon in the facial expressions, look just like Galecki and you know, Parsons. I mean, and Parsons. And so it's entertaining from that standpoint. Like they basically took the actor, shrunk them down to to an old man baby version of their adult selves. And so in that regard, it's funny. Because if you know how a baby reacts, and then you see how an adult reacts, and then you mix it, and it's humorous from that standpoint.
Okay.
But it's good for a short in the tooth joke. I don't see this being something like long lived.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It can be funny as like one of the meme videos that kind of go around, but I think my problem is I've seen
too many of them in a short amount of time on Instagram reels. Like people keep uploading, like every time I scroll, like every fourth video is one of these videos. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of over this.
Yeah. I mean, I can get it from that standpoint. Honestly, I looked at the other ones on this guy's page. Mm-hmm. The only ones that are funny to me are the Big Bang Theory ones. I mean, there's another one on there where it's got a it's from somebody's podcast, like video show.
Probably Joe Rogan.
It's not Joe Rogan. It's a comedian, but it's got Bobby Lee.
Oh, okay.
And then they've got this other one and they're doing, you know, like. They're like a dog sounds like, you know, understands English. What do they, you know, how do they say?
Oh, I saw that.
How do they say bow wow in Spanish? And then they go, you know, they go, what's a Mexican dog sound like? And they go like, bark, bark, you know, and then they do the one for China and they're like, help. Like, because like they eat dogs, you know, so
well,
so that one was funny. Damn, because of the nature of the joke.
It
had nothing to do with the faces. It was I feel like you almost need the context of whatever it is to make it funny.
Yeah,
and then the baby thing is just the icing on the top.
Okay.
Yeah. So like outside of that, but I could see where it'd be very long in the tooth if you just saw like three or four of them in a row.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, well, I get it. It's funny.
Well, when you sent me that, I didn't finish watching that clip, honestly, because as soon as it was like, oh, what does a Mexican dog sound like? And my first thought was Cheech Marin as Tito in Oliver and Company.
Amen.
And then this is torture. Chain me to the wall.
Yeah,
exactly. That's my first thought. It's like, that's what a Mexican dog sounds like.
But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I don't know. It's kind of all over the place, but
it's weird. The content shift of the instant content, like how crazy it shift between what we had 15, 16 years ago, what we have just 10 years ago, 5 years ago, what we have now. Crazy. Because back in the early days of YouTube, it was all everybody trying to get big YouTube money with stunt videos. Like, here, let me go skateboard off the Grand Canyon and, you know, as long as I live, I get $1 million from YouTube.
Yeah, I know. People have just, I don't know, it's just got really weird out there. But no, I mean, yeah, that I think that about rounds up the AI stuff. I think we need to move to something fun, like physical releases of
Shadowy media. Flight. Yes, exactly. So this is supposedly coming in the fall of 2025. I saw two different dates. I saw the summer of 25. I saw next month on June 10th, and I've also seen October 6th. But they are finally releasing. They actually released it on Blu-ray, I think, a couple of years ago. I think it was a foreign set at the time. But they are finally releasing Knight Rider on high definition. So high definition, 4K Ultra HD. Universal Pictures Home Entertainment plans to release on 4K Blu-ray Knight Rider, the complete series. This release is scheduled to arrive in the market in the fall. Just ride shotgun with a mysterious crime fighter, Michael Knight, played by David Hasselhoff, and the hottest car on four wheels, Kit, as they chase elusive criminals in each action-packed episode. The heart-pounding second season of Knight Rider packs in even more thrills? Huh? Why? What? Who wrote this description? It wasn't me, because I would have not written the second season on a complete series. Come on, Blu-ray.com, do better than that. Jeez. Man, Universal must have really screwed you guys, because that's not a description I would have written. But yeah, I first saw this. Knight Rider Historians' Facebook page had posted this. And then I guess they unposted it, because when I shared it, well, that's the thing about Facebook, folks. If you post something and then somebody shares it and you delete your post, Facebook will be like, this page is no longer valid. This page is can no longer be found. 404 error, 404 error, blah, 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 blah. But the news is out there. I am keeping an eye on whenever this does come out, because I would love to have this on 4K. I do know from the original post I saw from the Knight Rider Historians Facebook page that it is supposed to come with an all-new one-hour behind-the-scenes documentary thing. I'm not sure. I'm assuming Mr. Hasselhoff will be in it. I don't know if Mr. William Daniels, who voiced Kit, will be in it, because Mr. William Daniels is 98 years old now. I don't know what they'll. I don't know. I don't know if they'll get Mr. Feeney back.
Probably not.
Hopefully they will. Hopefully, even if they can just get him in on a Zoom call or something. I can't even say Skype anymore, because Microsoft did Skype dirty.
They foobarred that.
Foobar them. But yeah, when I saw Knight Rider Historians post this, I'm like, wait, what? Ears perk up? Knight Rider? Shadowy Flight into the Lone Crusader of Dangerous World? What's this? Huh? Because I was like, I barely even, like, when they posted, I was like, I saw like the top part of the thing. I didn't even see what the whole image was. I saw 4K Ultra HD, and then I saw his name, and then I saw the red. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, kind of excited for that. And, yeah. Because, honestly, physical media, it's... I like having the physical media stuff. I like being able to just put it in and watch the stuff and not have to worry about where I need, like, I was looking for something the other day. I was going to watch something the other day, and I'm like, okay, I know I bought this. Which website or which whatever did I buy it from? Because it wasn't streaming anywhere. And it's only on DVD. It has never been released on Blu-ray yet. And I'm like, how the hell is this movie never been released on Blu-ray? It was Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Lillard, Matthew Lillard, and Jessica Biel from 2001. It's Massachusetts, and it's the Cape, and it's baseball, and it's me. So I was looking for it, and I'm like, oh, it's still only on DVD after almost 25 years. Really? Seriously? It's only still on DVD. And I know I have. I've got it on Fandango. I was like, oh, that's where it is. Okay. So, but yeah. Yeah, everything else just seems to just be chugging along.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's all I got for this episode. And rather than dragging it on and trying to...
us do that? No.
No. But again, this kind of piles into the, you know, a podcast is as long as it needs to be. And it's hit its natural conclusion. So So thank you as always for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, with TFG and Mike. And yeah, be sure to check out the show on the episode post on geekcastradio.com. You can, of course, find it on all of your favorite podcatchers and rss.com. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Riding the waves of sci-fi and tech, we'll conquer the cosmos, what the heck? From Batman's shadows to Iron Man's flight, our geeky adventures take off like a kite. In a world where pixels paint the skies, gather round, friends, let's amplify our cries. Wolverine's claws sharpen, the battles ignite, Steve's got the insights guiding us right. Altered Geeks here, no limits in sight. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.